There we go. Hello, everybody. This is Andy Marks. Thanks for joining us for, what month is it? May 2018, LHON Live. Excited to have you here. We are only a few months away from what will be our 4-year anniversary, which is wild. Anyway, really excited to be celebrating with all of you all, celebrating this wonderful weather, celebrating good conversation, and a good community. You just heard Wayne talking about how he's opening his home to someone else in LHON community, and really that community that we establish is what we aim to continue through these calls every month. So to give you a little background, almost 4 years ago now, I went to the LHON conference in Pittsburgh, where I met two lovely ladies. And the three of us kind of got together, talked about how amazing the conference was, really enjoyed all of the seminars and everything we got from that conference. But as important as that, we enjoyed the ability to stand next to someone, to sit next to someone else, and have so much in common immediately, to be able to connect with that community, to be able to share our experiences, to be able to help each other out with anything from an iPhone to a cane, and really just connect. And it didn't take long for us to realize that that connection didn't require us being in the same room, didn't require us being next to each other, but we could do it over the phone. And so in August of 2014, we started these calls. We take turns hosting them. So if you do not fall in love with the call tonight, I encourage you to give us two more chances with our other co-hosts. They do a much better job than I. So give them a chance, and I assure you that you will get something out of these calls. Each time we bring a different speaker and share a little different story, so it's never the same. So with that, I want to introduce you to our other co-hosts. First, we have Jessica Loomer. And she's somewhere. And Maria Johnson, who likely is not here yet.
I made it
there
on.
There you go, Maria. Hello. How are you?
Just in the nick of time. I'm good, Andy.
Fantastic. Not a problem. With that, we're going to move on with the format. I gave a little introduction here at the beginning. I'll have a conversation with one of our guests this month. And then there will be an opportunity for you all to ask a few questions of me, of anyone else on the call, a chance for everyone to just get to know each other, ask any questions they want. I know we have some newcomers tonight, which is fantastic. We always enjoy those. With that said, there are a few topics that we steer clear of on this call. As I said at the top of the call, the point of this call is to connect, to enjoy each other's company, to give some amount of advice or tips or tricks when it comes to something. However, there are a few topics that we stay away from just because we're not experts. Those tend to be any kind of legal advice, any kind of employment advice, medical advice, diagnoses, any kind of prescription type thing. We stay away from those, obviously. If you have those questions, you're welcome to pose those. And if anything, we're probably going to point you in the direction of someone who can give you better advice than us. But with that said, I will go ahead and it's getting pretty quiet right now, so I may leave the call unmuted at this point. I'm probably going to regret saying that later on. But if you're on the call, I encourage you to mute your line by either pressing the mute button on your phone or by pressing *6. That will mute your line. Later on, I will tell you when we're opening up the call. But to make it easy for everyone, I will leave it unmuted for now. But with that said, I want to introduce you all to Marina. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Hey, Marina. Thanks for joining. To go ahead, and we're going to start with some of the details here. Everyone isn't looking at you. They know very little about you at this point. But mm-hmm. Marina, I will say for myself, is a fantastic person. I actually first met you a few months ago when you were reaching out for a project. That's our little teaser, and we'll get there in just a second. But do you mind giving everyone a little background on how you first were introduced to the LHON community?
So in 2014, I was like went blind pretty quickly. I went from like 20/20 vision to 2800 overnight, and then it took me a really long time to be diagnosed, or like a pretty long time. It took me 7 months because the doctors thought it was psychological for a really long time. And then, but then in summer of 2015, I think it was, they took an OCT, and then it was a retina specialist who saw the optic atrophy on my optic nerve. So then I went to Dr. Sadoun, and he clinically diagnosed me with LHON. And, but I'm still only clinically diagnosed with LHON because they did the whole genome sequencing, and I just got the exome sequencing done at NIH. But they still haven't found a specific mutation for LHON, but they still think I have it. So that's kind of how I fell into the LHON community.
Fantastic. So you were, how old were you at the time?
I was 14.
14. Okay. So you were in early high school then? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Going through your normal day-to-day. What kind of hobbies were you doing before LHON, and how, if at all, did that change with your vision loss?
So I was doing a piano, violin, and tennis were my three main things. So it changed a lot when I was diagnosed with LHON, or like when I went blind, because I couldn't read music anymore and I couldn't see the tennis ball. So actually, my dad created this TV thing so that it could blow up music like 20 times the size, so that I could still see things magnified humongously on the piano. And then as far as tennis, I couldn't play tennis anymore, but I became a Special Olympics tennis coach, which I actually enjoyed way more than tennis. So that kind of changed, like, my passion, actually. And then it kind of changed what I even wanted to do as a career. So now I want to either become an occupational therapist or a special ed teacher, because I just loved working with that, like, population of kids so much.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. I have things to say about this. But are you still playing your instruments these days?
Sorry, what was that?
I said, do you still play both instruments these days?
I play piano, and I actually got really into singing also when I lost my vision. So I actually found losing my vision not a positive experience completely, but it helped me find, like, what I was really passionate about. So
exactly. I've heard that same story. I think we've heard that story over the past few years several times. I actually didn't lose my vision until I was 25 or so. And we had people on the call who didn't lose their, didn't lose their vision until much later in life. But I know people who lost their vision a little earlier sometimes talk about the benefits of being able to kind of make those life decisions, knowing this part about themselves, or having already gone through this forced growth experience, if you will. I mean, at your age, I was probably less mature than you because I hadn't been through this yet. At the same time, you don't have to laugh at that. That's okay. I'm just kidding. You're welcome to laugh at me. Lisa will laugh at me later, and you'll feel more at home. But I have heard many people talk about how it was stay away from the word blessing, but it was nice to be able to make things like career choices after losing their vision. Not that it made the choice easier, but they knew that aspect of their life moving forward, and not to be overly serious, but if this is something that they live the rest of their lives with, they at least got to take that into account when choosing their major, when choosing careers and those types of things. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, definitely. So it helps me
Very cool.
Like, thought I wanted to be involved in more quickly.
where do you do your singing these days, other than in the shower?
I take voice lessons. I also competed a little bit, but I just like I do it for fun, and I take voice lessons, and maybe I'll pick up a minor in college or something. I'm not sure.
Very cool. Congratulations on almost graduating from high school, by the way.
Thank you.
When is graduation?
Graduation is June 8th. Yeah.
Okay. June 8th.
So soon.
I'm always reminded of this fact right around graduation time. So I'm saying this mostly to myself and probably to my mom if she's on the call. But happy Mother's Day to everyone coming up soon. And if you're listening, Mom, happy Mother's Day. Anyway, be good to your mom. Okay, fantastic. So you kind of decided these other things. You started singing. You continued to play some of your music. You started doing your coaching for tennis, which is really cool. That was actually my sport as well, and I haven't found a way to do it, although I tried pickleball, which was slightly easier if playing against someone who wants to be very cooperative instead of competitive, which is not how most sports tend to get.
Yeah.
But very cool. So you started these different things. You were in high school. You've made it through high school, clearly. And somewhere around your senior year, you decided to lean into this community more and kind of give back in a way, which is, like, super inspiring to me. Do you mind telling us all a little bit about what you were asked to do with this project? I know you had a project, but I'd love to hear the background on that a little bit.
So I'm in this class called AP Capstone, which is a two-year research course. It starts off as more of a seminar course where we take other people's research and synthesize what their conclusions are to form our own analysis. And then the second year, which was this year, is called AP Research, and we start forming our research questions in the summertime. And then when we come into the school year, we have to get our topics approved by an ethical review board and then, like, the institutional review board. And then after that, we can we only have to do that if it involves humans or animals. And then since mine did, I had to get mine approved by the institutional review board, and then I could go about my research. So I can share some of my I did 10 case studies and overlapped that with the comprehensive survey, which I think all the people were from the LHON community. And, so I can share some of the results that I got from that, which was...
Do you mind sharing the overall objective of the research as well before we get to your results?
Oh, yes. Yes. That makes a lot of sense. So I found... So the overall objective was to find that the overall best results, the overall best conclusions would be for individuals suffering from LHON. Let me pull up my exact research question. So what psychological and social factors yield the best long-term outcomes in individuals between the ages of 15 to 30 suffering from Leber hereditary optic neuropathy within the countries of the United States, England, Scotland, Ireland, and Australia? So that was my overall research question.
So basically, what factors correlate best with... You said you yield the best outcomes, and what are you calling a good outcome in this case?
Happiness is what I was trying to kind of aim for.
Okay, I think that's a good aim for all of us in life. Very cool. So, but I want to get to your results. But before we do that, do you mind sharing a little bit the methodology? So you had a survey, and then you also did kind of in-depth interviews with a handful of folks, or?
Yes. So I had. So I interviewed 45. I did an in-depth. Survey of 45 people. which I said took 15 minutes, but I guess some people were saying that it took 25 minutes. And then I did, from those people, I asked who of those people would like to be a part of my case study, and then I randomly sampled from those individuals 10 people who would like to be a part of the case study, and so I did 10 case studies from those.
Fantastic. Cool. I will go ahead and tell you, your survey was probably about 15 minutes, and you were probably spot on. I would tell you that blind people take a little longer to take surveys, and I say that as someone who writes surveys for a living. So, very cool. So, yeah, I don't want to I kind of don't want to keep anyone on the edge of their seat any longer, but what things did you find? What were the takeaways, elevator speech, if you will?
Okay, so some things that I found is that LHON was identified much more quickly in males versus females, and I found that more than half of the males surveyed that were diagnosed with LHON were diagnosed within about 3 months of their vision loss symptoms, and then versus 50% of females responded that it took longer than 6 months to be diagnosed, which is a pretty large difference. And then I found that delay in identification of LHON was largely aligned with the more subjective question of whether an individual was supported by their doctors. And it appeared that only 42% of females reported feeling supported by their doctors versus a large percentage, which was 72% in males. So men were more supported by their doctors, and that seemed to correlate to how quickly they were diagnosed. And then I also found that it was reported that the majority of women who developed vision loss believed that their lifestyle choices moderately or significantly contributed to their symptoms, while only 33% of men felt that their lifestyle choices caused their vision loss. However, women were able to move past the fact that their lifestyle choices contributed to their vision loss, where the men who believed that their lifestyle choices caused their vision loss were not able to move past that fact. But fortunately for men, the majority do not believe that their lifestyle choices contributed to their vision loss. And lifestyle choices meaning smoke or toxic fumes or excessive drinking of alcohol, any of that. And then... Sorry, what?
No, I'm taking it all in. I mean, a lot of what you're saying is very, very interesting, and I'm speculating myself in terms of, I mean, I think these are interesting findings. They say a lot both about the diagnosis. I mean, outside of the numbers, the fact that that women, it's harder for these doctors to diagnose women says something to the fact that the at least the education around LHON is limited, and it's typically on a gives doctors the instance of a very, very typical case, and a typical case means a guy between the ages of 15 and 25. So I think anything outside of that, which obviously would include any woman, doctors struggle more to diagnose. And then outside of that, you said that women are more likely to feel their life choices or external factors have something to do with their being affected by LHON, which I immediately go back and forth from, is this just guys shifting blame, or is this an actual thing, or what it is? And that's, I mean, regardless of what it's saying, it's very interesting. I mean, I think it's amazing that, I don't know, that a high schooler did all this work. But no, continue. I'm just excited here.
And then I also found that prior to an individual's vision loss, greater than half of the women that I interviewed or that were surveyed had jobs or lifestyles that were in a caregiver role that was either like teaching, nursing, childcare, or even like being a mother. And this compares with only 3% of men that were in a career with a nurturing aspect to it. And while women had a caregiver role, they didn't receive the same level of emotional support from those closest to them, according to my survey. And for women with children, it was their ability to continue in their nurturing role that provided them their strength. So, like, their ability to care for others gave them their strength, or at least according to what I found in my survey and my interviews. And then
keep going.
Okay. And then my research also showed that while there didn't appear to be a correlation between a cure for one's vision and life fulfillment for men, a correlation does exist in women. So I found that there is a correlation between believing that a cure is in sight. Yeah. So people who believe that a cure is in sight oftentimes had a more positive outlook within in the future, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense.
It certainly does, and it makes a lot of sense to me. And I'm going to ask a question, and I want you to feel very comfortable saying you don't know. But any idea what the correlation coefficient was there? I'm just super curious.
I don't. I didn't do a lot of
no, that's 1,000% okay. I just wanted to ask. Cool. That is – okay. So what you're saying – I'm going to restate what you're saying, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. Because I wasn't sure which way you were saying the direction was going initially. But if I'm understanding correctly, there's a relationship, a positive relationship within the female population of those affected by LHON. In that, now, I'm not going to assume one of these depends on the other, but higher belief that there's a cure coming is correlated to higher happiness.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Or the other way around. We don't know which is causing which.
Tilda.
But the correlation exists both ways. That's very, very cool. Okay. And I was I could have a conversation about this for days because it's interesting. I could almost understand or hypothesize either way that hey, hope is very helpful. But I also have heard from people within this community that constantly looking for a cure can be draining. So almost, I don't mean settling, but like understanding the life you have and the cards you've been dealt and making the most of that can sometimes be the happiest thing you can do. So super interesting that you kind of found a relationship there. Okay. Anything else? I don't mean to keep cutting you off. Yeah, go ahead.
I found that 70, as far as psychological counseling went, there was a positive relationship in both men and women in large. So 78% of men who obtained professional psychological support and 67% of women who sought professional help reported that life was more fulfilling in the long term. So overall, psychological counseling as one of my end recommendations was strongly like recommended for individuals that were diagnosed with LHON. Overall, at the end, I had asked everybody who took the survey to give their overall recommendations for other individuals diagnosed with LHON. And so there was gender differences as to the specific actions to assist individuals, but long-term advice was relatively the same between men and women, and it stressed the need to stay strong and stay busy and understand that there are worse things that can happen, to focus that on what you have rather than what you have lost, understand that emotional wounds heal over time, to utilize assistive technology and engage in the LHON community to provide support and counteract the isolation that can result from the vision loss from LHON. And that was just synthesized from what everybody had said and throughout the survey. So.
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure at least one of your survey respondents said to clear the first Wednesday night of every month and call into LHON Live. So I want to make sure that's recorded in history. Very cool. Actually, I didn't put that. But I do think that's great advice. That's awesome. So be positive, kind of keep moving forward, to quote Meet the Robinsons, and engage assistive technology, lean into the LHON community. There was an element of see the bright side, always look on the bright side of life, to quote Spamalot. And let's see. I mean, I think that's all fantastic advice. I think we should, and your research focused on early diagnosis and what advice you'd give to someone who was recently diagnosed. But I think most of what you said there, I mean, could be extrapolated to anyone who's been affected at all. I know some people take that advice really well on day one, and some people take it better on year three or year five. And I don't think any of that advice ever spoils or goes bad. And so that's super, super cool. Were there any other unique things you found in your the case studies you did, the interview?
A lot of what I found in the interviews was kind of overlaid within here. It was what I found in the interview was that people like to have routines. It was mentioned a lot. It was something that wasn't mentioned a lot within the survey. But it was mentioned a lot that individuals like to have a specific routine, and I find that actually a lot in my daily life. I like to have routine, and next year I'm kind of scared. I'm like, I'm not going to have the same routine. But people like to have routine. The cane was brought up a lot within interviews, and that people use a cane more as an ID thing than actually from a mobility standpoint. Those were a couple interesting things that I found in the interview, and I kind of mentioned that and overlaid that with the statistics in my research.
In your findings, yeah. No, I mean, I think it's interesting. You mentioned the cane, and I often associate the cane with a level of confidence, a level of acceptance. Well, and these are words you alluded to with your findings, in the sense that the cane in and of itself doesn't mean these things. But someone who uses the cane, I tend to feel, has gotten to a level of acceptance and is a confident blind person, which is a troublesome thing for a lot of people. So that's interesting that the people you interviewed talked about that in that way. That is all super, super cool. So have you, like, you've submitted your research, you've done all the academic stuff with it, and you've submitted that, and that piece is over?
Yes. I submitted it to the College Board, so it was a part of my AP exam, and so I'm done with it. But
okay.
But I'll put
very
it on
cool.
the LHON page.
Okay, I wanted to ask that, but I wasn't sure if I hadn't okayed that with you. So that's very cool. If you could share any of those findings, that would be super, super cool to kind of see what you found. And I think this is useful for this community, but also useful for doctors and useful. I mean, obviously, there are people who are listening right now who will likely one day talk to someone who's recently been diagnosed, know someone who's recently been diagnosed. And I think all of what you said in a somewhat scientific way, I mean, like, it is really helpful to kind of give all of that feedback together cumulatively. We've all been giving anecdotal feedback for years now, some of us much longer than others, but it's cool to have it all aggregated in that way. So on behalf of everyone here listening and elsewhere, thank you. That's super, super, super cool.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to share there? I definitely want to make sure we give people an opportunity to ask questions. But anything else you want to share before we open the call up?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. That's okay. You shared a lot. Thank you for coming prepared with your A game. Did you have to kind of share this research? Did you have to present this research at any point in time?
I had to present it, yes. It was like a 20-minute presentation, and I gave it a few weeks ago.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm sure it went well. I want to be conscious of your time, and I know you have to leave in about 10 minutes, but I want to go ahead and open up the call to everyone else. First of all, thank you all for either muting or being quiet or whatever it is you've done. But it went well, and I was able to hear everything perfectly. I hope everyone else was able to hear. But if you have any questions, let's hear them. No need to ask me. I'm not the expert. So, Marina, if you could hang around for a few minutes for a few questions, that'd be fantastic.
Okay.
Marina, it's Melissa. Congratulations. Awesome work. I'm really, really impressed. If you don't mind sending it to me when you're done, or if you can send something at some point, I mean, I'd love to help you socialize the data amongst, you know, doctors and people who might benefit. I think there's some interesting points you've got in there that I think we should socialize amongst folks who can use the information. I'd love to work with you on that if we could. And I'm also wondering, so this was all part of AP and, like, prepping for college. So what happens next with your academic path?
Oh, I just made my college decision. I'm going to JMU. But I was accepted to all my colleges, which is really cool. So, yeah.
Congratulations, Marina.
Thank
I know we
you.
Were talking about this briefly yesterday, but – congratulations. That is super, super cool.
Thank you.
Happy for you. You deserve
it. And I'll definitely share it with you.
Super. Thank you.
Hey, this is Paul from Henderson, Nevada. I don't have any specific questions. I think that was brilliant on your part. The research, this is my first time on the call, and really good job. Really, really good job.
Thank you.
And for being such a young lady, only 14 years old, I believe you said you were, or mm-hmm. when you got diagnosed, 14 years old. So where you're at now is pretty amazing to me, because when I first got diagnosed, my life, I went and told the opposite direction for a little bit, where there was just like a lot of meltdowns happening emotionally before I was able to dig myself out and start gaining momentum in my life again. So congratulations to you and good job.
Thank you so much.
This is Chris in Pennsylvania. Marina.
Hello?
Marina, can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
I think you are remarkable. Just remarkable. And I loved hearing your story, and your research was so interesting. I'm glad. Thank you for sharing it with us. You're a remarkable young lady.
Thank you so much. That means a lot.
You're welcome.
Marina, this is Lisa from Canada. I want to commend you and on your research. You're obviously a lot more mature than most high school students to take on a project like that, and I think it's absolutely amazing what you've done, and to get up in front of people and present it at, you know, your age, you should be commended, and I wish you all the success in your college career ahead.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Good luck to you. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
And for the record, Andy, I don't laugh at you.
No, I know you don't laugh at me, but you were nice enough to laugh at my jokes occasionally, which I appreciate.
Well, somebody has to. Sorry. It's only because I love
you,
Andy.
There you go.
Marina, this is Maria. Can you hear me? I unmuted myself, I think. Good. Again, what all the other ladies said, of course, ditto. And for those of you who don't know, Marina and her parents spoke at our last LHON conference, so that would have been in 2017, and they shared their family's journey on trying to get a diagnosis for Marina. And Lisa could probably link up the video, as she does so nicely on
working on the LHON.
I knew you would be. So anyway, be sure and check that out, because you can get the full story about, you know, her journey through, you know, trying to get diagnosed. But Marina, one thing I wanted to ask about, myself being affected at a later age, there was one thing in your research that said women more times – well, how do I say this? Women were more likely to blame outside influences for their LHON trigger, so, and men weren't as much, but women got over it and men didn't. Was it something like that?
It was women were more likely to feel guilty that they were at fault for their LHON, but they were able to move on from it, whereas men who felt guilty that they were at fault for it, they could not move on from it.
Okay, that's what I get. Well, so, which, you know, I think is really interesting because, well, one, I would love to know, you know, it's one thing seems odd to me just coming from that little, the female side of it, is that are women truly feeling guilty because they know what, you know, outside things they may have done that caused them to lose vision? I mean, that just seems so, I don't know, it seems odd to me just being in that category. I can blame antibiotics for mine, but are other women blaming I was an alcoholic, I was a smoker, I, you know, breathed in barbecue smoke every day? I mean, is it that kind of thing that they're, you know, feeling guilty about? Because I'd be so curious as to what women are feeling guilty about. Like, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
Women could answer it.
I should go back and look at like, the specific, because I still have the specific category.
Survey?
Survey. So I should go back and look at specifically what it was that they were saying.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marina. That would really be interesting to know, really, what are women feeling guilty about? You know, what specific thing are they feeling guilty about? I would love to know that at some point. You know, doesn't have to be, you know, right away. You've got a lot on your plate. You're getting ready to graduate and then, of course, getting ready for school. But, you know, I mean, I could see me – do I feel guilty that I was taking antibiotics? No. But – because I didn't know. But I guess it would have to be, you know, some other things that would promote, the feeling of guilt among, you know, women. So, anyway, I think that would be interesting. Thank you, Marina. Appreciate you coming on.
Maria, it's interesting because you mentioned being diagnosed beyond your 20s, and I'm almost interested in how much of the difference in men and women that you're characterizing can be attributed to age. I want to say, based on the people I know, that men tend to be diagnosed younger. Now, we obviously just heard the story of a female that was diagnosed at 14 or started losing vision at 14. But I wonder if people who are older tend to, right or wrong, take more blame on themselves, or said the other way, whether younger people tend to not take the blame for things.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's something I'm thinking about as well, because obviously there are other things that affect men and women, and that's how these stats are going to work. But, okay, super interesting. You've heard my voice enough. Any other questions from everyone?
Hi, this is Bob in Northern California.
Hello.
Hey, Bob, we can hear
Hello.
You.
Hello. Hi, Marina. Hey, thanks for your share and your research, boys. Very inspiring, and I just can't imagine, you know, how people that know you and have heard what you've done feel so proud about you, but also how proud of yourself you must feel, just how very accomplished you must feel. That's tremendous. So congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm just really excited to see your research a little bit more, and also to kind of watch your path going forward, because I would imagine this is going to grow into something else, you know, whether it's just LHON, something down the future, or something even bigger, right? And I'm just excited for you to see where this leads, because I think if you've done this at your young age, I can't imagine what you have left to do to accomplish in your life. So go get them.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I hope to do something else. I don't know. I enjoyed doing research or something similar to this, so I would like to do something else.
Right.
So thank you.
You bet. We're in a world of big data, right? So
yeah.
Perfect space to be in.
Hi, Marina. This is Ida in Canada. Like everyone else, I want to congratulate you on all your accomplishments. You're truly amazing and an inspiration to all of us. And I think what you've done is probably already at college level. And like the previous caller just said, I think you'll achieve greatness. And we look forward to hearing about your future and further achievements.
Thank you. I look forward to sharing them, hopefully.
Okay. We're very proud of you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm not ending the call by any means, but because I know Marina has to go in just a minute, I'm going to limit us to one final question, and we can continue the conversation amongst us all after that, but I know you have to go and want to be respectful of that, Marina. But first of all, from all of us, thank you so much for joining and sharing your stuff, and we'll look forward to seeing everything. So who wants to take the soapbox and ask our final question? Or comment. Going once, twice. Well, Marina, thank you so much for joining us. I really am super impressed. I want to hear your singing competition. That's my last comment. But super excited for you. Glad you'll be staying in the wonderful state of Virginia for college. That is my wonderful birth state, and I will always love it. Thank you so much. I'm really excited for you. And congratulations on graduation in a few weeks.
Thank you so much, and thank you for all your support. And I'll definitely send you a singing video or something.
That would be awesome. Thank you.
Research too.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Marina.
Thanks, Marina.
Okay. So I think everyone else is still here. I know you're less interested to ask me questions than Marina, but if you're still around and want to ask questions of anyone else still in the group, or if you want to talk about correlation coefficients with me, we can do that with a big audience.
Are you going to mention anything about the conference?
I certainly am. And now, thank you for tossing that softball my way, and I will go ahead and do my best to hit it out of the park now. So, for anyone who has not heard of it, we have an LHON conference coming up next month. It's just about a month and a half away, closer to 2 months, actually. It's the last weekend in June. June 28th and 29th. Did I get that right, Lisa?
Yes.
Okay, 28th and 29th. It is in Nashville, Tennessee this year. I know we have a few new callers, but it's a fantastic opportunity. As I said at the top of the call, that's actually where I met Maria and Jessica and many other people on this call. I think most people on the call I've met at a conference
at some point in time. But it's a great opportunity not only to benefit from what we had this evening, which is a chance to hear from other people, but you also get a chance to hear from some doctors. Many people bring their family, and it's a good chance for – I mean, I know something I've heard from my family and friends is it's a great opportunity for them to kind of see someone else's LHON. While I benefit from this call every month, I know my family was really interested to kind of talk to other people who have family members with LHON. And really, it's an opportunity for anyone, just like this call, an opportunity for anyone that considers themselves a part of the LHON community, whether they are affected, related, just friends of someone who has LHON. So it's a two-day event this year. Both days have some amount of networking and socializing and some amount of sessions with – in the past, they've included doctors, they've included genetic counselors, they've included people like Marina this evening who share their stories and give advice. And if you are interested in what a conference is like, we have recorded them the last several years, I want to say since the beginning, and we will be sure – I'm using a very royal we in this case. Someone will likely post a video, to give you an example, of Marina and her family speaking last year. But from the UMDF website, you can actually find lots and lots of videos from prior conferences. If you have questions about the conference, I encourage any of you, if you haven't already, to go to LHON.org, where you can find information about the conference. If you're on the email list at LHON.org, you will have already actually been sent information about the conference. You have until the end of this month, I want to say the 28th, to get early bird pricing, which is around, I'm going to say around $45 for the LHON.
42.
And around 42.
42.
And around 115.
Yep.
For the full UMDF conference. So one thing I didn't mention, I should have just let you do this whole thing, Lisa. But
you're doing great.
One thing I didn't mention is that we always plan our conferences around UMDF conference. If you're not familiar with UMDF, it's the United Mitochondrial Disease Foundation. Our LHON community is actually a subset of that, and they work tirelessly throughout the entire year on behalf of people with mitochondrial diseases. To encourage awareness, to encourage funding, to encourage research, and they really do a fantastic job. And so they hold a conference once a year where they bring a whole bunch of people in from around the world to have sessions on the wider UMDF community, and we tack our conference on to that. So if you want to attend both the LHON conference and the UMDF conference, which comes with a banquet the day after our conference and things like that, you can sign up for the larger event. There are a few things I didn't mention, but I think that covers a lot of it. I know if I open it up right now, we'd have tons of people just telling you that you should definitely go to the conference, and nearly everyone on this call will be at the conference, most of the people I heard speak up. So I can't encourage it enough. If you're able to come, if you're not, I certainly love that we're able to record it and give you the ability to take advantage of it at home. But if you can make it, we really encourage you to do so. If you are unable to come purely for financial reasons, you can actually apply for scholarships through UMDF, and they handle all of that. But you can find information on that online as well. There's the end of my spiel. Any other questions? I know this is earlier than it normally gets this quiet.
Andy,
it's a little smaller group. Go ahead, Maria.
Andy, yeah, hey, it's Maria. Maybe some of the folks who have been to the conference for the first time, maybe last year or even the year before, can quickly give a quick two or three sentences on what it was like for them, just to kind of, you know, give a feel for folks who may not have been, what you know, what it's like and what feeling you leave with after an LH1 conference. So I know there's a few folks on here who might be willing to do that, Jeff or
well, last year was my second, so this will be my third, our third, and so happy to get a couple of guys to go, Jeff and James and Nicholas and Paul Dennett, but just to see them experience that is unbelievable, you know. And Jeff will tell you, I got him to come, and right then and there, he knew he couldn't wait to get back the following year.
Yeah, this is Jeff from Virginia, and I had never been to an LHON conference before, and I was talking to Wayne, and he twisted my arm, and I went, and I'm so happy I went. I'm coming back again this year, and my wife and I are really looking forward. We're going to be going every year we can. We're going to make it, so.
That's awesome. If anyone else wants to just shout out single words of LHON conference experiences, I don't want to encourage it, make anyone do it, but you just want to tell us a word of your experience, that's fine too.
Family.
There you go. That's a good one. We'll land on that. We'll end on that
let
one.
Andy, real quick. Sorry, it's Lisa again. Let me just say real quick, just in terms of content, I mean, it is the family and it is the people. Just to repeat on the content, it's really good. I think a lot of the content is going to be really interesting. You know, Maria and I were at the CSUN conference, and I kind of spent 3 days there just soaking up information on assistive technology, and I'm going to try and synthesize what's new and exciting in the world of assistive tech, you know, in a conversation that I think everybody's pretty interested in what's going on in assistive tech. And I'm not an expert, but I'm going to kind of overview what's new. And there's been a lot new recently. So I think that there's going to be something interesting for everybody, I think, in that session. And then Molly Knox is going to talk about sports and just a huge range from general fitness on to team sports and just sort of cover the gamut, all the things you can do. Maria, as always, her panel with people telling their stories of life with LHON and their journeys is always sort of a highlight and always gets the best ratings on everything. And that's going to be the first half day on Thursday. And then on Friday, I'm really excited because we're going to do something new and different this year, and I think it's going to be really valuable for the entire LHON and mitochondrial communities, and that is that we're going to, for the first time ever, combine the LHON group with the broader mitochondrial group. And there's going to be sort of an overview of clinical trials for all mitochondrial diseases and updates on some specific trials that have been done in various other mitochondrial diseases. And what is particularly interesting there is that, like, for instance, one of the trials is being done by Stealth for mitochondrial myopathy, and there are people with LHON plus participating in that trial. So if there's success in some of these other mitochondrial disease trials, those could very easily translate over to us. And I think this will be the first time that our group sort of sees that bigger picture of what's going on in the world of clinical trials and mitochondrial disease, and it really does apply to us. So I think it's going to be good for us to be exposed to that. And then the second part of that session is going to be a clinical trials update just on focusing on vision disorders. And Dr. Nancy Newman, who was at last year's conference, she's going to moderate a panel. And we're going to usually all of the talks that we do at the LHON conference on medical and clinical trial issues come through the clinicians, but for the first time, we're going to do it the way UMDF does theirs, and we're going to actually have representatives from some of the companies there. So GenSite, people have seen a lot of information about GenSite appearing in our Facebook group, and they'll be there talking about the work they're doing directly. Santhera, some folks have listened in on a Santhera webinar they're going to present. And then Stealth, like I said, not only have they been doing work in mitochondrial myopathy, but they've also been doing work in the world of LHON. And, you know, depending on the timing of results being released is going to indicate what they can and cannot talk about. But in general, there will be people there from all of these companies that, like I said, this is sort of an interesting topic for our group, and those folks will be there presenting, and our group will, not only will our group hear from them, but so will the whole mitochondrial disease community, which to me is really exciting, because I think the more that we learn what's going on in the regular mito world, and the more the regular mito community learns the exciting work going on in clinical trials in our community, I think it just lifts everybody's overall understanding. And then when we're done with that, we're going to break and go back to, I don't know, our, air quotes, our LHON room, and then we'll have Dr. Nancy Newman to ourselves, and she can answer any questions that we uniquely have for her, and then we'll close with our traditional sort of update on what's going on in our global growing and active LHON community. So in addition to the family and the networking and all the great fun that people will be having in Nashville, that, those are some of the things that will happen during Thursday afternoon and Friday morning. And then, like, and that's all in the $42 early bird special price if you register by the end of the month. Otherwise, it doubles in price. And then if you choose to stick around and do the $115 UMDSing, there's the whole thing. That just provides more time to network. There are already people from our community who have signed up for the whole thing. So there will be people to network with, and sessions, like if anyone heard Chris say it, you know, early in this talk, that she was listening to one of a webinar, you know, with a doctor talking about sleep issues. And I think that's actually one of the topics going on in the UMDF meeting. And there'll be a talk on advocacy, and there'll be a talk about genetics 101. So it's Social Security. So there's going to be any number of topics not quite as tightly correlated to the group, but enough that, hey, it's worth sticking around. You get to stay for the banquet Friday night. That's included. And you get more sessions, more time with our community. So, yeah, I just wanted to go over a little bit of what exactly is going to happen. I think we've got great content lined up.
Thanks, Lisa.
Uh-huh.
Anyone else have any questions while we're recording? I want to make sure we get all this information. But if you're on the call and you have questions and you don't want them to be recorded, I will stop our recording here in a minute to give everyone an opportunity to say hey if they want to after we're done recording.
Yeah, just make sure if you're signing up for the hotels for the conference, you do it soon because they're selling out.
Actually, from what I heard there, like the room block, I believe, is sold out, and I've heard the hotel might be full. So from what I have heard, you need to call and see if you can't get a cancellation, and then they're trying to get some more rooms nearby.
Okay, I will go ahead and turn our recording off. And before I do that, just make sure I get this on the recording. Thank you all for calling in. As always, these are the first Wednesday of every month. I didn't look it up this time. So next month is going to be June. Give me just a sec. Someone else is going to get it before I get it, probably. June.
Probably Lisa.
4, 5, 6. June 6th. June 6th. At 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific here in the U.S. If you would like to be a speaker for a future month, we would be absolutely thrilled. You can always reach us at lhonlive@gmail.com or, you know, our names, Andy Marks, Maria Johnson, Jessica Loomer. You can find us on Facebook. Send us a message, and we would be happy to get you on our long list. It's really long. Everyone wants to do it these days. But we'll make sure to get you in. really, thank you all so much for calling. And with that, I will turn off the recording so everyone can continue chatting.